Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. Author of the Turner's Take newsletters. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading, and you can find me on Twitter at Turner's Take or on the web, turnerstake.com, or if you're a farmer, producer, you're heavily involved in grains, you can also find me at turnerstakeag.com. So here at Daniels Trading, we work with online traders, broker assistants, speculating, hedging, managed futures. If you have any questions about that, feel free to contact us. All my contact information is in the show notes. So with that said, let's talk a little bit about the as we're wrapping up the week here. I just wrote recently about that April versus June hog spread in Turner's Take in the newsletter. I'm glad we got into that. I still like it. Right now, it's kind of my favorite trade for got a potential here. We'll see if hogs break. If it does, I really do like it. I think the hog market here, especially in the spreads, have really come up pretty big. I think that, you know, the bellies have really been pushing the market higher. You've even seen that story get into the press about bacon and pork bellies and how kind of a shortage of it. Talking to people in industry, we're thinking that maybe in the next week, we see that demand from the packers who basically need the bellies to fulfill obligations. We'll probably see that demand come back down. I mean, the bellies are what's driving the cutout. And then once that kind of subsides, I think we're going to turn around. I think we're going to turn around in the April hogs. I think the bids are, you know, they're basically the cash bids from the packers are going to kind of fall out of bed here. And then I think that April-June spread is going to come in. So it's also a seasonal play, too. So that's why we're watching it. It's just that the pork bellies, you know, I mean, for lack of a better term, looks like the packers are short bought, meaning that they have, you know, obligations to produce those pork bellies. We're having a little bit of a shortage. They're having to come into the cash market and buy them. Then that pushes the cash prices up. That pushes the futures up. I think that has been the last half of this lean hog rally. And you know, once that buying subsides from the packers, we're going to see a reversal here. That's my theory. That's why I like that spread. And yeah, now we're a half a point lower. And I think, you know, if we're bear spread and we're half a point lower, and or you maybe even more, and I like it more this week than I did last week. So if you're following along with me in the newsletter, I'll be making trade updates and my opinion on there for that. If you're a client and would like to receive it, just get in touch with me. If you're not a client and would like to receive it, you do have to have an account here at Daniels Trading, but I'm happy to talk to you about that too. So that is really the livestock. I've also been following that August, October spread that I've been talking a lot about. Right now, we have definitely had cash prices higher in the country. I think I was seeing 119s and 120s. So that has led the futures higher in the cattle and the fat cattle. We did have a nice little break here. Wouldn't be surprised, you know, over the past couple of weeks. Wouldn't be surprised if April tested that 116 area. At that point, I'm definitely going to be taking another look, maybe to get in a better entry point for the August versus October spread. I do think the seasonals, or, you know, those spring highs could be in. You never know, but I do, you know, that the cattle on feed report that last came out, those placements are just, they're just bearish for the back end of that market. So If we can get some front month cash movement and front month bullishness that brings the back months higher, I do like those back month spreads. And I'll probably use any kind of, you know, the market's in the back end, maybe going higher, might not deserve to be, but it's going to have to follow the front end a little bit. So if we can get that might be a good place to get in. So I'll definitely be following that too. Speaking of which, talking about getting some pretty good prices because of, you know, what's interesting about trading sometimes is if you, and I'm going to talk about the wheat spreads, Kansas City wheat for Chicago wheat in July. There are issues right now with wheat. There's concerns about wheat coming out of dormancy and there'll be damage. And a lot of it has to do with the hard red wheat, the Kansas City wheat. What's interesting is, so, you know, we've been bullish on Kansas City over Chicago for a while now, and continue to be, and I see no reason to let up for a while. And what's interesting is the funds are very short wheat, but they're short the Chicago contract. Chicago contract just happens to have more open interest and volume in it. So when you see the funds take a position, even if they want to play spring wheat or Kansas City wheat, they still do it in Chicago wheat. A lot of times, but so, you know, we like this spread in July, Kansas City versus Chicago, and one of the interesting things is when a big wheat story comes out, the shorts who are in the Chicago have to buy it, and you've been seeing this buying pressure in the Chicago wheat, and what it does is it actually drags down that Kansas City versus Chicago wheat spread. When, you know, if there wasn't such a huge huge short in Chicago, you would think that the market would rally because the news is bullish for the Kansas City spread. So you get this news come out, it's bullish for Kansas City wheat, but you see Kansas City wheat lose to Chicago while the funds buy back Chicago, and what it does is it kind of artificially sends that price lower. So, you know, I was talking to traders who liked that trade, and we were looking at that trend line in July, KC versus Chicago, and we were looking to get in at, you know, in prices like under 10, like 10 cents over, 9 cents over, 8 cents over, where it'd be kind of starting to test that trend line. And when that news came out, we were all kind of like, oh, shucks, you know, now the spread's going to go higher. But their limit orders all got hit, and then the market went straight back up, and it was because of the buying, that short-term buying pressure into the Chicago wheat that kind of artificially pushed those spreads down. So it was a really interesting phenomenon. It's one of those things where I don't know how you do it. Is, you know, if, I mean, you'd have to really have a good tune to the market, but you know, in what's going on with Chicago. But if you do, I think it's with the Chicago wheat contract. I do think it's an interesting trade. Like, you know, if there is a hard red wheat story coming out that's bullish for hard red wheat, and you start seeing all that short covering in the Chicago, I mean, that could be an arbitrage situation. So I use it to get into these things long term on the breaks, but and I really don't have time to day trade here as a broker. It's an interesting idea. The guys who I talk to who are, you know, even if they're online traders or broker assisted here, the guys who have the time and want to follow the markets like that, that's something that I mentioned over the past couple of days, and it's definitely an interesting one to watch, and I'm going to continue to probably follow that pattern. So Kansas City versus Chicago, I still think, you know, if we're going to have weather issues, if we're going to have dormancy, wheat coming out of dormancy, it's going to affect the hard red winter wheat crop more. And I'm just getting even thinking we're going to see 20 to 30 cents Kansas City over Chicago, which is traditionally the protein differential, just because Kansas City is such a higher protein content, and usually the market will pay up 20 to 30 cents for that. So I still think we're going there just based on those reasons. A corn spread that we're in, that I like, July versus East, that's taking some heat here, you know, as corn sold off here. I don't know if you noticed in the grain markets, we've sold off a couple of days, so, you know, it's still above where we got in, but it did give a little bit back. That July versus December spread, that's all about old crop, new crop, and it's one of those things where it's kind of a cheap call, and we're waiting for planting issues or big demand, growing issues, something that, and that's when you're looking for something like that to take off. In the meantime, it's just gonna chop around. It's nice that it's up, but I'm not expecting big moves until we actually start getting into planting. We got some planting issues going on for the first real potential catalyst for that spread. So that's where we're there on the spreads. I talked last time about cotton. I wish I had sold it. I mean, pretty much after I got off that podcast, the next day, well, in the open, cotton started to sell off. Those spreads started to come down. I don't know enough about cotton to really trade it like I do with some of the other grains and livestocks, but the chart was bearish. That story on why cotton was going up really had nothing to do with the quality of the crop. It had, it was a financial or a credit issue, a funding issue. And those type of things are usually short-lived. They tend to work themselves out a lot faster than, let's say, quality or crop damage issues. So it looks like we're reversing in cotton. I don't know if it's too late to try to jump in there, but I'll still be keeping an eye on it. Seems like if it does reverse, it's got a ways to go. But I don't know. If anyone does know more about cotton, I'd love to hear it from you. It's just one of those markets you do not get a lot of news on. Soybeans are making a run here. It's March soybeans are coming support probably around 1020, 1025. New crop kind of held up a lot better for soybeans. And then, when you look in the energy markets, if you look at a chart of crude oil, I put on Twitter, I put out a story about how U.S. shale producers export record 1 million barrels of oil per day to world market as OPEC cuts back. So what's going to happen? OPEC is cutting back production. Who's filling the void? United States shale oil producers. I don't know. To me, that just means no matter what OPEC does, unless we get some real solid growth in the United States and around the world, which could happen, we're probably going to see crude oil prices go lower. It's going to, it's just going to be that. If the United States at $50 a barrel, it makes sense for shale producers to export as much as possible. It doesn't matter what much OPEC is going to cut. So, I don't know. Right now, my bias to crude is definitely lower. But if you look at that range, I mean, since the end of November, we've been between 52 and 55. I mean, that's a tight range for crude. $3 over 3 months. So, I don't know. For you breakout traders, buy stops above the highs for the past 3 months, sell stops below the lows for the past 3 months. Maybe that's the way you play a breakout on crude, because if you do get a breakout on crude and big volume movement, we've all seen crude oil move a couple of dollars in the day. I don't know. I kind of, when I see markets like that, it's almost like a coil, and you eventually expect them to break out one way or the other. I don't know. Don't have the crystal ball. I think it'd be to the downside, but you know what? You can have huge growth. Some fighting in the Middle East, these things happen, right? And then all of a sudden you're off to the upside instead. So I like the idea of the buy stop above the three-month highs and the sell stop below the three-month lows. Since, let's say, that end of November, it looks like that's when we had that breakout to the higher and the range started, which would have been right after OPEC announced their deal, how they're all going to cut together. So that's my idea on crude. Natural gas, I'm glad we scratched out of our long positions a couple of weeks ago because we just keep on coming down here. It's going to be 60 degrees in Chicago this weekend. That is crazy for February. I'll take it, but not good for natural gas demand or prices. I don't know how much lower we're going. April lows from late last year are about 280 or about 295 now, so it's only 15 cents away. I would think we'd find some pretty big support for natural gas 15 cents lower from here, so keep that in mind. Finally, the big news, I'm going to tweet this out after this podcast, and the USDA had their long-term projections released, I think it was yesterday. What's significant about that is they start to show their estimates for acreage and yields, and they'll do it like 10 years out. So, what the USDA thinks in terms of corn acres in 2023 and trendline yield, I really don't care about. It's so far out, it seems. I mean, I'm glad they put out numbers and they actually have some kind of estimates. It's nice, but I mean, you really can't take those seriously. But what you can look at is for 2017, because that Ag Forum's next week. So the USDA did put out a report today about what they're thinking about 2017. you know, does that line up with the ag form numbers are going to be? You know, they're, you know, these are two different groups that put out these numbers. But what was really interesting about this, I'm going to put out this page, I'm going to put out this report, but if you go to page 27 in it, you can see total acreage for corn and soybeans for what they're thinking, the economists at the USDA are thinking. For 2017, they've put 90 for corn, going from 94.5 to 90. I'll be interested to see if the Ag Forum says 90 on, I think it's Thursday or Friday. That's gonna be, it's gonna be viewed as bullish for corn. They have soybeans at 85.5, not even gaining 2 million acres, and they have, so that would probably be bullish for soybeans too. The biggest thing I see on this is that, you know, 2016 we have the total acres for the eight major crops planting at 254 million acres, and now we're going and this year they're projecting 249. So they're calling, the USDA is calling for basically for the planted acreage for the eight major crops, 5 million acres coming out of production between 2016 and 2017. Which would be bullish for grain prices overall, taking acreage out. And their projection over the next 10 years is there's going to be less and less acres planted for agriculture, you know, where they're seeing 2026 bottoming out at 220, at 244. So that's a very interesting, it's the USDA, it's their agriculture productions. Projections, long-term assumptions and projections. They go out to 2026. This is page 27. I will tweet out the link to the USDA report, but definitely check that one out. And you can see how the CRP, Conservation Reserve Program, on how they're, that's staying, I don't know, that's not, that's staying the same too. I don't know where the acreage loss is. I'm going to have to really dive into this report to figure out where the acreage, they're losing these acres. I wonder if it's going into specialty crops. But anyways, that's what they're calling for. And then what's interesting is when you get past page 27, you can start seeing the breakdowns for the supply and demand tables going out. So on page 28, you see corn, and they're calling for 90 million acres in corn this year. Again, losing 4.5. They're calling for a trend line. They're calling for a yield of about 170.8. I think trend line on the from the Ag Forum is gonna be closer to 169. I think, but now I'm doubting myself when I'm seeing the USDA put out this 170.8 number, which would be bearish on the yield, but bullish for the acres. Maybe that's a wash a little bit. They're still calling for ending stocks of 2.3 billion, which isn't great for corn prices. They're thinking average corn price is going to stay around the same where it is now. I will say this, if you look at what the USDA is projecting for corn next year, 1.95 billion in exports. That would be the United States losing almost 300 million bushels from the previous year. Why is that happening? If you remember last year, South America basically ran out of corn. So we went from about 1.9 billion exports in corn for two crop seasons ago. For this past crop season, export season, we're going to be about 2.2 billion. So adding about 300 million because we made up for the losses in South America. And now coming back to 1.9, meaning that, you know, South America is going to have enough corn to export. And we're not going to get that luxury of padding the stats and the export numbers so much. So, you know, if you look at a 90 million planted acre and a 171 yield, you would say, oh, you know, with 2.2 billion exports expected, now all of a sudden ending stocks are under 2 billion and we can have $4 on summer rallies. But the way the USDA is talking about this is maybe that's not the case if the exports don't come in. So, or if the South American production is just normal or good. I mean, they had to get above 2 billion exports. Now you have to think there's got to be production issues around the world where the United States is gaining exports because of that. So that's page 29 on that report, or 28, I'm sorry, on the USDA long-term projections for dated February 17. And then I'll do one more. I want to talk about it real quick, then I'm going to wrap it up because we've got the long weekend. We're off on Monday. Wheat's kind of interesting, but I'm going to skip over that. I'll let you do that on page 32. Here we go. Page 33 in that report. Soybeans. They're calling for 85.5 million acres. They're calling for a yield of about 48, which is trend line. That's more closer to the... When I did my trend line projections, I got 48. I don't know why I got 169 for corn. USDA is saying closer to 171. I have to go check my math now. But yeah, 47.9 sounds right to me for the trend line yield in beans. And they're calling for year-end stocks under 400. What's interesting about the USDA in this report, they're calling for this year ending stocks to be about 480. And we're already seeing it's going to probably be about 430, 420. I wouldn't be surprised if we get under 400 there. And, you know, I don't think the USDA was thinking that the Brazilian currency would appreciate so much, that U.S. beans are still a pretty good deal, even at $10 on the world export market. So we're going to pick up exports because of that. I'm wondering if that report's taken this into account. And then next year what they have is, they have us crushers going up a little bit. Exports are going up a little bit to 2.1 billion. So they're going to have our ending stocks at under 400 million, and this is for the new crop that the USDA hasn't published numbers yet in the WASD. That's interesting because now they're calling for farm prices in the $9. I'm just looking at this. I think we're going to get more acres than 85.5. But if the USDA, if the long-term economists are right about that, that's bullish for beans. You can have summer rallies, $11 or higher. At the end of the year we might be $9, but in the we get planting issues, you get weather issues. We've all seen weather rallies in soybeans. They can go up a dollar or two before they eventually come down a dollar or two into harvest. So the USDA is basically saying $9 beans, and you got to be able to figure out that's kind of a bullish number. So again, this is the 10-year outlook for the USDA. They publish all the numbers from 15 to 2027 or something like that. I don't pay too much attention to the numbers after probably a year or two out, but it is kind of interesting to see, especially some of their GDP and economic forecasts. But I'll tweet that out. It's interesting. I think it's the most interesting just to get a gauge of where you think the market might be thinking, what the Ag Forum says next week. Were there any major surprises between that long-term outlook that they just put out and then what that Ag Forum group will point out? So that's going to be interesting. And we'll have podcasts next week, Tuesday and Thursday. We are out on Monday for President's Day. And if you have any questions, let me know. You can always contact me through Twitter, through email, through the phone. All my contact information is in the show notes. If you like this podcast, please feel free to rate us on iTunes or on Android. We always appreciate a positive review. It helps me get the marketing team on board and promoting it a little bit more and having more people listen. And one day if we get a lot of listeners and a lot of good reviews, and we might be able to do more. Maybe instead of twice a week, maybe it's three or four times a week. So we always appreciate that. So have a great weekend, everyone. Keep an eye on those spreads I talked about earlier. Going to talk a lot next week about the grains. Going to focus on the Ag Forum. And have a great, if you have off on Monday, have a great three-day weekend. Everyone else, have a great weekend. Bye.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation cancellation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.